Chapter 5. Train Your Child from Infancy. Paragraphs 1 and 2. Question. To whom should parents look for help in raising their children? Sons are an inheritance from Jehovah, exclaimed an appreciative parent some 3,000 years ago. Psalm 127:3. Indeed, the joy of parenthood is a precious reward from God, one that is available to most married people. However, those who have children soon realize that along with the joy, parenthood brings responsibilities. Especially today, rearing children is a formidable task. Nevertheless, many have done it with success, and the inspired psalmist points the way, saying as recorded at Psalm 127:1, "Unless Jehovah himself builds the house, it is to no avail that its builders have worked hard on it." The more closely you follow Jehovah's instructions, the better parent you will become. The Bible says at Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding." Are you willing to listen to Jehovah's counsel as you embark on your 20-year child-raising project? Accepting the Bible's view. Paragraph 3. Question. What responsibility do fathers have in the raising of children? In many homes around the world, men view child training as chiefly woman's work. True, the Word of God points to the father's role as principal breadwinner. However, it also says that he has responsibilities in the home. At Proverbs 24:27, the Bible says, "Prepare your work out of doors and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, you must also build up your household." In God's view, fathers and mothers are partners in child training. Paragraph 4. Question. Why should we not view male children as superior to female? How do you view your children? Reports say that in Asia, baby girls often receive a poor welcome. Bias against girls reportedly still exists in Latin America, even among more enlightened families. The truth is, though, girls are not second-class children. At Genesis 33:5, Jacob, a noted father of ancient times, described all his offspring, including any daughters born up to that time, as the children with whom God has favored me. Likewise, as recorded at Matthew 19:14, Jesus blessed all the young children, boys and girls, that were brought to him. We can be sure that he reflected Jehovah's view. Paragraph 5. Question. What considerations should govern a couple's decision as to the size of their family? Does your community expect a woman to give birth to as many children as possible? Rightfully, how many children a married couple have is their personal decision. What if parents lack the means to feed, clothe, and educate numerous children? Surely, the couple should consider this when deciding on the size of their family. Some couples who cannot support all their children entrust relatives with the responsibility to raise some of them. Is this practice desirable? Not really. And it does not relieve the parents of their obligation toward their children. At 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, "If anyone does not provide for those who are his own, and especially for those who are members of his household, he has disowned the faith." Responsible couples try to plan the size of their household so that they can provide for those who are their own. Can they practice birth control in order to do this? That, too, is a personal decision, and if married couples do decide on this course, the choice of contraceptive is also a personal matter. Each one will carry his own load, as stated at Galatians 6:5. However, birth control that involves any form of abortion goes contrary to Bible principles. Psalm 36:9 indicates that Jehovah God is the source of life. Therefore, to snuff out a life after it has been conceived would show gross disrespect for Jehovah and is tantamount to murder. Filling your child's needs. Paragraph 6. Question. When should the training of a child begin? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a boy according to the way for him." Training children is another major parental duty. When, though, should that training start? Very early. The Apostle Paul noted that Timothy had been trained from infancy. The Greek word used here can refer to a small baby or even an unborn child. Hence, Timothy received training from when he was very young, and rightly so. Infancy is the ideal time to begin training a child. Even a young baby has a hunger for knowledge. Paragraph 7. Question A. Why is it important that both parents develop a close relationship with a baby? Question B. What relationship existed between Jehovah and his only begotten son? "When I first saw my baby," says one mother, "I fell in love with him." So do most mothers. That beautiful attachment between mother and baby grows as they spend time together following the birth. Nursing adds to that intimacy. A mother's caressing her baby and talking to it are crucial to filling the baby's emotional needs. But what about the father? He too should form a close connection with his new offspring. Jehovah himself is an example of this. At Proverbs 8:22 and 30, we learn of Jehovah's relationship with his only begotten son, who is represented as saying, "Jehovah himself produced me as the beginning of his way. I came to be the one he was specially fond of day by day." Similarly, a good father cultivates a warm, loving relationship with his child right from the beginning of the child's life. "Show lots of affection," says one parent. "No child ever died from hugs and kisses." Paragraph 8. Question. What mental stimulation should parents give babies as soon as possible? But babies need more. From the moment of birth, their brains are ready to receive and store information, and parents are a primary source of this. Take language as an example. Researchers say that how well a child learns to talk and to read is thought to be closely related to the nature of the child's early interaction with his parents. Talk and read to your child from babyhood on. Soon he will want to copy you. And before long, you will be teaching him to read. Likely he will be able to read before entering school. That will be especially helpful if you live in a country where teachers are few and classrooms are crowded. Paragraph 9. Question. What is the most important goal that parents need to remember? The foremost concern of Christian parents is filling their child's spiritual needs. With what goal? To help their child to develop a Christ-like personality, in effect, to put on the new personality mentioned at Ephesians 4:24. For this, they need to consider proper building materials and proper building methods. Inculcate the truth in your child. Paragraph 10. Question. What qualities do children need to develop? The quality of a building depends largely on the sort of materials used in the structure. The Apostle Paul said, as recorded at 1 Corinthians 3:12, that the best construction materials for Christian personalities are gold, silver, precious stones. These represent qualities such as faith, wisdom, discernment, loyalty, respect, and loving appreciation for Jehovah and His laws. How can parents help their children from earliest childhood to develop these qualities? By following a procedure outlined long ago. Paragraph 11. Question. How did Israelite parents help their children to develop godly personalities? Shortly before the nation of Israel entered the Promised Land, Jehovah told Israelite parents what is recorded at Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. These words that I am commanding you today must prove to be on your heart, and you must inculcate them in your son, and speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Yes, parents need to be examples, companions, communicators, and teachers. Paragraph 12. Question. Why is it vital that parents be good examples? Be an example. First, Jehovah said, "These words must prove to be on your heart." Then he added, "You must inculcate them in your son." So godly qualities must first be in the parent's heart. The parent must love the truth and live it. Only then can he reach the child's heart. Why? Because children are influenced more by what they see than by what they hear. Paragraph 13. Question. In giving attention to their children, how can Christian parents copy Jesus' example? Be a companion. Jehovah told parents in Israel, "Speak with your children when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road." This requires spending time with the children, no matter how busy the parents are. Jesus evidently felt that children were deserving of his time. During the final days of his ministry, as recorded at Mark 10:13, people began bringing him young children for him to touch these. What was Jesus' reaction? We read in verse 16, "He took the children into his arms and began blessing them." Imagine, the final hours of Jesus' life were ticking away. Still, he gave these children his time and attention. What a fine lesson. Paragraph 14. Question. Why is it beneficial for parents to spend time with their child? Be a communicator. Spending time with your child will help you to communicate with him. The more you communicate, the better you will discern how his personality is developing. Remember, though, communicating is more than talking. "I had to develop the art of listening," said a mother in Brazil, "listening with my heart." Her patience bore fruit when her son began to share his feelings with her. Paragraph 15. Question. What needs to be kept in mind when it comes to recreation? Ecclesiastes 3:4 indicates that children need a time to laugh and a time to skip about. A time for recreation. Recreation is very productive when parents and children enjoy it together. It is a sad fact that in many homes, recreation means watching television. While some television programs may be entertaining, many destroy good values, and watching television tends to stifle communication in a family. Therefore, why not do something creative with your children? Sing, play games, associate with friends, visit enjoyable places. Such activities encourage communication. Paragraph 16. Question. What should parents teach their children about Jehovah, and how should they do so? Be a teacher. You must inculcate these words in your son, said Jehovah. The context tells you what and how to teach. First, as Deuteronomy 6:5 admonishes, you must love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your vital force. Then, these words you must inculcate. Impart instruction aimed at developing whole-souled love for Jehovah and his laws. The word inculcate means to teach by repetition. So Jehovah, in effect, tells you that the primary way to help your children develop a godly personality is to talk about him on a consistent basis. This includes having a regular Bible study with them. Paragraph 17. Question. What may parents need to develop in their child? Why? Most parents know that getting information into a child's heart is not easy. As recorded at 1 Peter 2:2, the Apostle Peter urged fellow Christians, as newborn infants, form a longing for the unadulterated milk belonging to the Word. The expression, form a longing, suggests that many do not naturally hunger for spiritual food. Parents may need to find ways to develop that longing in their child. Paragraph 18. Question. What are some teaching methods of Jesus that parents are encouraged to imitate? Jesus reached hearts by using illustrations. This teaching method is especially effective with children. Teach Bible principles by using colorful, interesting stories. Perhaps those found in the publication, My Book of Bible Stories. Get the children involved. Let them use their creativity in drawing and acting out Bible events. Jesus also used questions. Imitate his method during your family study. Instead of simply stating a law of God, ask questions like, why did Jehovah give us this law? What will happen if we keep it? What will happen if we do not keep it? Such questions help a child to reason and to see that God's laws are practical and good. Paragraph 19. Question. If parents follow Bible principles in dealing with their children, what great advantages will the children enjoy? By being an example, a companion, a communicator, and a teacher, you can help your child from his earliest years to form a close, personal relationship with Jehovah God. This relationship will encourage your child to be happy as a Christian. He will strive to live up to his faith even when faced with peer pressure and temptations. Always help him to appreciate this precious relationship. The vital need of discipline. Paragraph 20. Question. What is discipline, and how should it be applied? Discipline is training that corrects the mind and heart. Children need it constantly. Paul counsels fathers, as recorded at Ephesians 6:4, to go on bringing their children up in the discipline and mental regulating of Jehovah. Parents should discipline in love, just as Jehovah does. Discipline based on love can be conveyed by reasoning. Hence, at Proverbs 8:33, we are told to listen to discipline. How should discipline be given? Paragraph 21. Question. What principles should parents bear in mind when disciplining their children? Some parents think that disciplining their children involves merely speaking to them in threatening tones, scolding them, or even insulting them. However, on the same subject, Paul cautions, as mentioned at Ephesians 6:4, "You fathers, do not be irritating your children." All Christians are urged at 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 to be gentle toward all, instructing with mildness those not favorably disposed. Christian parents, while recognizing the need for firmness, try to keep these words in mind when disciplining their children. At times, though, reasoning is insufficient, and some kind of punishment may be needed. Paragraph 22. Question. If a child needs to be punished, what must he be helped to understand? Different children require different kinds of discipline. Some, as stated at Proverbs 29:19, are not corrected by mere words. For them, the occasional punishment administered for disobedience may be life-saving. A child, though, should understand why he is being punished. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof are what give wisdom." Moreover, punishment has boundaries. "I shall have to chastise you to the proper degree," said Jehovah to his people at Jeremiah 46:28. The Bible in no way endorses angry whippings or severe beatings, which bruise and even injure a child. Paragraph 23. Question. What should a child be able to discern when he is punished by his parents? When Jehovah warned his people that he would discipline them, he first said, as recorded at Jeremiah 46:28, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Likewise, parental discipline, in whatever appropriate form, should never leave a child feeling rejected. Rather, the child should sense that discipline is given because the parent is with him, on his side. The following is supplementary information. Effective discipline. One meaningful form of discipline is to make children feel the unpleasant consequences of wrong behavior. If, for instance, your child makes a mess, cleaning it up by himself may make the strongest impression. Has he treated someone unfairly? Requiring that he apologize may correct this wrong trend. Another form of discipline is the denial of privileges for a time in order to drive home the needed lesson. In this way, the child learns the wisdom of sticking to right principles. Returning to the chapter, protect your child from harm. Paragraphs 24 and 25. Question. What is one ugly threat from which children need protection these days? Many adults look back on their childhood as a happy time. They recall a warm feeling of safety, a certainty that their parents would look after them no matter what. Parents want their children to feel that way, but in today's degenerate world, it is harder than it used to be to keep children safe. One ugly threat that has grown in recent years is sexual molestation of children. In Malaysia, reports of child molestation quadrupled over a period of 10 years. In Germany, some 300,000 children are sexually abused each year, while in a South American country, according to one study, the estimated annual number is a staggering 9 million. Tragically, the majority of these children are molested in their own home by people they know and trust. But children should have a strong defense in their parents. How can parents be protectors? Paragraph 26. Question. What are some ways that children can be kept safe? And how can knowledge protect a child? Since experience shows that children who know little about sex are especially vulnerable to child molesters, a major preventive step is to educate the child, even when he is still young. Knowledge can provide protection from the bad way, from the man speaking perverse things. Proverbs 2:12. What knowledge? Knowledge of Bible principles, of what is morally right and wrong. Knowledge, too, that some grown-ups do bad things, and that a young person does not have to obey when people suggest inappropriate acts. Do not limit such instruction to a one-time talk. Most young children need to have a lesson repeated before they remember it well. As children grow a little older, a father would lovingly respect his daughter's right to privacy, and a mother her son's, thus reinforcing a child's sense of what is proper. And, of course, one of the best safeguards against abuse is close supervision by you as parents. Seek divine guidance. Paragraphs 27 and 28. Question: Who is the parent's greatest source of help when they face the challenge of raising a child? Truly, the training of a child from infancy is a challenge. But believing parents do not have to face the challenge alone. Back in the days of the judges, when a man named Manoah learned that he was going to be a father, he asked Jehovah for guidance on raising his child. Jehovah answered his prayer. In a similar way today, as believing parents raise their children, they can also speak to Jehovah in prayer. Being a parent is hard work, but there are great rewards. A Christian couple in Hawaii says, "You have 12 years to get your work done before those critical teen years. But if you have worked hard to apply Bible principles, it is time to reap joy and peace when they decide they want to serve Jehovah from the heart." When your child makes that decision, you too will be moved to exclaim, "Sons and daughters are an inheritance from Jehovah." How can these Bible principles help parents to train their children? Trust in Jehovah. Proverbs 3:5. Be responsible. 1 Timothy 5:8. Jehovah is a loving Father. Proverbs 8:22-30. Parents are responsible for instructing their children. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Discipline is needed. Ephesians 6:4.